Well, they call it the Bilderberg Group or the Bilderberg Conference. It's an unofficial annual invitation-only conference of around 130-some guests, most of whom are people of influence in the fields of business, academia, media, politics, due to discussions by public officials and very strong business leaders and others. Being off the record, these annual meetings are the subject of much criticism for circumventing the more typical democratic process of discussing issues openly and publicly, and numerous conspiracy theories abound here. The elite group, and they are, meets annually in secret at exclusive five-star resorts throughout the world, normally in Europe, although sometimes in the United States, or in this case, they just had one at Ottawa, Canada. It has an office in South Holland, Netherlands. What is the Bilderberg Group? What is the Illuminati? In a moment, three special guests on Coast to Coast AM as we try to explore the Illuminati. Okay, let me introduce you to our three distinguished guests first. Jim Mars is an award-winning journalist, has more than 30 years' experience with several Texas newspapers. In 1999, he began teaching a course on UFOs and perhaps one of the first university-level UFO courses in the nation. Jim has also investigated the U.S. Army's remote viewing program 3 years before it was publicly acknowledged by the CIA, and then produced Alien Agenda. In addition, his book, Rule by Secrecy, has been termed an underground bestseller, and maybe not underground anymore because it's also gone mainstream. Jim, welcome to the show. How are you?
Howdy, George. Always good to be with you.
Likewise. I'm looking forward to this one tonight. Our next guest is Daniel Eschulin. He's an award-winning investigative journalist who has been researching the Bilderbergs for 15 years. He is the author of an international bestseller, The True History of the Bilderberg Club, published in 28 countries. Daniel, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And then we have Alex Jones, who has helped assemble all this with producer Lisa Lyons. Alex Jones is an award-winning documentary filmmaker and political researcher. His news websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, are at the forefront of the exploding alternative media. Alex is recognized by many as the father of the 9/11 truth movement, being the first to raise questions about the government's official story. His newest film is called Martial Law, 9/11, Rise of the Police State, detailing revelations there. He was in Ottawa, Canada. As you know, you heard him on the program last week, detained for hours before he finally had an opportunity to try to spring free and find out what was going on. Hello, Alex. Glad you're back.
George, this is really exciting. It's great to be on with yourself and, of course, Mr. Mars and Mr. Eschulin. Thanks for letting me be part of the panel.
Gentlemen, after opening remarks by the three of you, this as a roundtable discussion, we merely open up all the microphones so you're all on, and we will just go along and discuss this incredible episode of the Bilderberg and try to, at least, try to find out what the heck they're planning to do with all of us. Mr. Mars, why don't you start for us and just kind of give us your opening thoughts of all of this?
Well, let me put it in the form of a question, George, to you and to your audience. What do you think would happen in the U.S. media if all the owners of the National Football League franchise teams all met in a big secluded hotel under heavy armed guard, came out after a week and refused to tell anyone what they had discussed? Don't you think they would go ballistic? Don't you think they'd start crying, you know, price fixing, you know, collusion, this is a conspiracy? But when these world corporate leaders meet, you get not a word in the corporate mass media.
Well said, Jim Mars. Daniel Eschulin, you were at the Bilderberg Conference in Ottawa, Canada. Give me your overview. You're an expert. Your book has been published, 28 countries. It's called The True History of the Bilderberg Club. What's your take on this group, Daniel?
Well, good evening to Jim and to Alex. Bilderberg is not a person. I think of Bilderberg as an ideal of a very powerful group of people who, from their position of power, intend on destroying every constitution on earth, no matter how long-lasting it or they may be. If we think about it, the Second World War, which was fought because it had to be fought at a terrifying cost to human life, has not been won in real terms. What we have done is we have removed a psychopath and his group of assassins. But the ideal behind them today lives on in a group called the Bilderberg Club, also known as Nazi International, and whose real name is the Synergist Movement. And the intention behind each and all of the Bilderberg meetings is about how to create a synergist aristocracy of purpose between Europe and the United States, and how to come to agreement on questions of policy, economics, and strategy in jointly ruling the world. And in this case, the NATO alliance was the crucial base of operation and subversion, because it afforded the Bilderbergers the backdrop for their plans of perpetual war, or at least for their nuclear blackmail policy.
Daniel, let me ask you this, and then we'll go to Alex Jones. Was the intent of the Bilderberg when it was formed back 50-plus years ago, did it have a good intent originally, or was it kind of sinister from the get-go?
Well, actually, if we extrapolate even further into the past, the forerunners of the Bilderbergers, or the Brewer-Stiftinian Company, the Committee of 300, the Council of 300, and they've been at it for the last 350 years. So their purposes have never been good. And we can see over the last 50 years how all these other secret societies spawned the Bilderbergers. And later on in the programs, we'll talk about case points such as the war in Kosovo, which is about the drugs, and other numerous instances where we can see the hand of the Bilderbergers in place.
Okay, very good. Alex Jones, of course, you were up there in Ottawa. You have investigated the Bilderbergs for a number of years. You have your own thoughts on this.
Well, George, I agree with the statements. In fact, Jim stole my thunder. If we had 120, that's the number we have at Bilderberg, top Hollywood stars meeting in secret, the press could not be controlled. They would bust down the doors. They would get in there. And it's key to understand, until 6 years ago, the U.S. press never reported on Bilderberg other than saying it was a conspiracy theory. It didn't exist. I mean, I've had the New York Times attack me, it was 6 years ago, saying that Alex Jones believes in a place called Bohemian Grove and a place called Bilderberg, and he makes up these delusional theories about them. So we've totally seen that broken now, all over CBC, all over CTV, all over their major newspapers, front pages. It's even been in U.S. papers. The New York Times 2 years ago had big, you know, reports admitting that, yes, they want world government, but they want it because they love us and they're experts and they care. And you pose the question, are they good? Are they bad? Were they ever good? And Estlan's right. This goes back to the very same robber barons, the black nobility as they're known. Prince Bernhard, the big SS colonel, the king of the Netherlands, but when he was a prince, founded the Bilderberg in 54. They just gave it an official name. It had already existed. It was mainly founded with Nazi money, major Nazi connections, and it is openly run by the Queen of England, the Queen of the Netherlands, who was there this last week. And the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, that's who's in attendance, that's who operates, that's who runs this. And the Bilderberg Group, after they got exposed, finally 3 years ago, if you type Bilderberg into Google, it's one of the top links, BBC did a report, and Bilderberg released, they're very proud of themselves, some of their 54 first documents and agenda, and they had the plan for a European Union. They are the progenitors, they are the masterminds of the EU. And even mainstream U.S. news now admits the American Union is already in place. We're going into it. The average American just doesn't know. And it supersedes national sovereignty and it destroys constitutions. It takes the freedom from the people. They want a world government that removes liberties on a country-by-country basis to ensure this worldwide tyranny. And that's exactly what the Bilderberg Group is doing. They are the power elite. They are the 120 top people. And tonight we can also talk about how they interlock with the Trilateral Commission, the CFR, Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove. The leaders of those organizations are also the leaders of the Bilderberg Group.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what I'll do is I'll address one question to one of you, and then when that individual's finished, your microphones will all be up. Feel free to jump in, and let's do this as a discussion, as if we were sitting at some dinner table talking about this this group. Jim, this group, Bilderbergers, of course, the name comes from the hotel in the Netherlands. What do they want, Jim, in your opinion? What are they trying to do?
Well, first off, it is interesting that now as Alex said, there has been some actual mainstream media mention of these Bilderbergers, but let's face it, they don't even really, they're so secretive, they don't have a proper name. They just were called the Bilderbergers because they were first discovered meeting in 1954 at the Bilderberg Hotel there in Holland. And as Alex also mentioned, but kind of skipped right on over, they were created. One of the main creators was Prince Barnhard, who got in a lot of trouble for accepting bribes from Lockheed, and was a Nazi SS officer.
Oh, my God. And had they ended up at the OK Hotel years ago, they'd be called the OK Group by now, huh?
I guess so. Now, what do they want? Okay, here's my bottom line. They would like to present to us the idea that they want to bring about a what they themselves call globalism, or one world government, one world economy, one world military force to enforce the will. And, okay, now wait a minute. Philosophically, I am not necessarily opposed to globalism because we are one humanity. We are one people on this small planet, okay? But the problem is, George, they are pushing this through on us through secrecy, deceit, and everything else. Alex mentioned that the North American Free Trade Union is already in place. It absolutely is. In fact, very, very quickly here, there's going to be public hearings held in Texas for the Canamex Superhighway, this superhighway that's going to stretch from Mexico through the heart of America and right on into Canada. And they're going to exercise eminent domain. They're going to take people's property. They're going to cut the path right through the cities. And you're going to have these super double trailer tractor trucks hauling stuff from Mexico all the way up to Canada.
Unchecked.
No border inspection, okay? Actually, there will be one point in Kansas City, I understand, that's being built with tax money.
And by the way, that's only the tip of the iceberg. It will make every individual from Latin America legal in the agreements, and these are already in place, Bush made with Fox and Martin of Canada, the former prime minister. This is all public. They will all instantly be legalized. That's why they've got to have the, quote, amnesty guest worker program, because we are fully going into the American Union right now.
Exactly. And I would point out that how are we supposed to believe in the war on terrorism and that we have to watch out and defend ourselves from this international terrorist group that's trying to slip weapons of mass destruction into the United States when they won't even secure the borders?
And they just recently announced that they're taking out $600-some million out of funding, which would have helped secure some of the ports. They decided that's too much money.
That's right. And, of course, let's not forget that originally the ports, at least 23 of our major ports, were going to be administered by a company out of Dubai, a nation with known terrorist ties. And when Congress began to balk about that, George W. Bush threatened to veto them.
And I would add the communist Chinese have Long Beach, the Panama Canal. They're doing the radiation nuclear scanning in the Bahamas.
Yes.
But then military checkpoints, militarized police checkpoints are being set up all over the U.S., quote, in a post-9/11 world. So for the listeners out there, it's also in the American Union plan that every car will have a transponder in it, and you'll be tax-tolled, tracked, and ticketed with that new transponder. And the legislation is in the Texas legislature right now. It's in the legislature of at least 10 other states. This is all happening, people, but you're not going to see it on the nightly news.
That's exactly true. Alex, let me tell you what happened to me coming back from Chicago. I got grabbed at the airport by the Transportation Security Administration, or whatever it is, TSA, and this young Gestapo-looking guy says, "Is this your bag?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Step over there." And he begins to rummage through my bag. And then he calls an older guy, a supervisor, over. I heard the supervisor say, "Oh, that's okay." And then he turned to me and he said, "You're busted." And I said,
"What?"
I said, "What?" And they had rummaged around in my bag and found in the pocket of a jacket a 79-cent plastic cigarette lighter that I didn't even know I had in there. It had been left there, God knows, years before probably. I said, okay, what do we do now? And he says, well, you can go outside of security and you can mail it to yourself or dispose of it how you want to. I said, oh, well, the hell with that. I said, just throw it away.
Throw it away. I got to get my plane.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting there trying to get my stuff together, and I said, well, I sure am glad that you all took my lighter. And they both of them said, we didn't take it. I said, oh, that's right. That's right. I gave it to you. And then I turned to the older guy, and I said, sure, I'm glad you saved the country from my 79-cent cigarette lighter. I said, too bad you can't guard the border. And I expected to catch some flack from him.
Right.
And this older TSA guy says, leans over to me, and he whispers, he says, you know, I wonder about that myself. Okay?
Yeah, so it's all a big joke. And by the way, under Bilderberg, national sovereignty is a dirty word. Under Bilderberg, you do not have borders. So for everybody who's upset about the 30 million illegals who are here now, they're all about to be legalized.
And why, though, Alex? Why don't they want borders?
Well,
they want the one-world globalists.
Well,
they
simple.
Want a one-world government.
It's simple. It's not just that they want a one-world government, and Jim's right. They go in, they set up a global government, then they set up regional bodies that they appoint, that they control. They create new governments where you don't have a Bill of Rights, you don't have due process, you don't have a constitution, you don't have property rights for the average person. It's going back to feudalism. The Bilderberg Group endorses, we can talk about this later, their main goal, Estalon's an expert on this, we have their own documents, is the Committee of 300, the Club of Rome, and others who openly say they want to reduce our population by 80 to 95%, i.e. Dr. Pianket, University of Texas. So they want to put in their world government to do a whole raft of things. They desperately need their world government so they can then go in and make sure that sovereign nations don't develop technologies that rival the global government's power monopoly, new advanced technologies in medicine so that the average person doesn't get all these suppressed life extension systems. They need a world government so other sovereign nations or individuals can't create alternative forms of energy. They want to freeze technological development. They need a global government so that other countries can't develop weapon systems that could resist them. It's about a monopoly of a continuum of force and control. And finally, they want a world government to have a global one-child policy, global forced inoculations. They're full of poisons by design. We have Henry Kissinger's documents from 73 from Bilderberg. This is mainstream news. We have the plans pushed by some of these big foundations that are members. And their main focus is getting the world government in place, as radical as this sounds, getting the world government in place so they can orderly exterminate the vast majority of us. Daniel Estalon, is that not true?
Could I just, hi.
And I've got a minute, Daniel, before our commercial break. Go ahead.
Okay. I'd just like to get back to what Jim said before. What Alex is saying is true, but I think it's one of these things that for a layman is very, very difficult to understand exactly how all these things work. So maybe we should explain exactly how such a small group of very powerful people can control humanity.
All right, let's do that when we come back, Daniel,
okay.
And we'll come back right to you and get you to explain how this small group can try to control all of humanity. I've got
right.
to tell you, this is riveting information tonight. And Alex, we of course got to get an update from you on the most recent Bilderberg Group conference that was held in Ottawa. Get your take on all this. I know a lot of you weren't allowed in, but Alex has a mole, and I'm wondering if the mole, I don't mean a mole on his body either, if this person has been able to tell him anything. So we'll be back in a moment with our three special guests tonight, Daniel Estulin, Alex Jones, Jim Mars. All the websites for Alex Jones and Jim Mars are up there on coasttocoastam.com. The research of the bestseller by Daniel is called The True History of the Bilderberg Club. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment with this on Coast to Coast AM. And our three special guests as we talk about the Bilderbergs, and this is growing into the full-scale Illuminati story, we'll be back with all three, Alex Jones, Jim Mars, Daniel Estulin, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Let's pick it up with you, Daniel, to tell us a little bit about the 300, how they can control, how they can manipulate with just this small amount of people.
Well, I think, first of all, I think it's very important to keep this in the mainstream. I think if we go off into the realm of the microchips and the transponders and mass genocide before explaining foundation of how this ideal called the Bilderberg is put together, we're excluding a lot of people because a lot of people simply do not understand how such terrifying things could happen under their noses and without their knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So a Bilderberg works on what I call a systemic methodology. So just imagine you take an apple pie or a circle and you divide the circle into a lot of small pieces or slices. And then what you do is you put each one of the slices could be an important organization. So, for example, you put in front of one slice a man or a woman you trust, such as International Monetary Fund. So you would put Wolfowitz, or in this case, Rodrigo Rato, who is a Spaniard, or World Bank, you'd put Wolfowitz. And through Wolfowitz, you control absolutely everyone in the organization. So you don't need to control what desk clerk thinks or what he does and how he votes. All you need to do is just need to control the man or the woman at the top. And through them, the entire strategy, the entire philosophy and policy will permeate an entire organization. That's why it is so easy.
So it falls into place.
For such a small group of people control, and they control, of course, you have the president of the World Bank, which is Wolfowitz, and you have the president of the International Monetary Fund by the name of Rodrigo Rato, you have the governor of the Federal Reserve, you have the president of the European Central Bank, you have the presidents of every one of the central banks of each one of the European nations, you have European commissioners, you have the Secretary General of NATO, and through him you control what NATO does and thinks. You have the presidents of each and every one of the European and nations, United States and Canada, because Bilderberg, the more exclusive organization, is NATO Alliance, and you have the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, which is an American brother or sister interlocked organization, and you have the Trilateral Commission, which is the world organization, because it encompasses the three areas of the world, Americas, Europe, and Asia. That is why it is so easy to control. So that's one of the things that a lot of people do not understand. They understand microchips. They understand transponders. They don't understand because they don't see it around us. But they do understand that when you take a very small group of people and you control each one of the organizations, be it a president of a company, because, again, Bilderberg is you have political elite, you have financial elite, you have business elite, and then you have the media mogul. So you take
I would just add that that's why their symbol is the pyramid. It's the symbol of compartmentalization. You have a very tiny elite on top manipulating down through all of this strata. And you know, I agree with Daniel that coming out of the gates with their final plan is hard for some. But at the same time, no matter how shocking it sounds, people need to investigate what their agenda is. We're dealing with megalomaniacal control freaks that funded Hitler. We're dealing with individuals that are truly into total control, and this is their program. I mean, it's hard to believe that the U.S. is already in an American union, but finally Lou Dobbs is talking about it. Finally Human Events is talking about it. Finally it's mainstream news because it's happening. You know, the legislation to put the transponders in all the cars, to turn all of our major roads into taxing mechanisms to pay for the American Union, as we're going to pay for destroying ourselves, is now going through the legislature. So we've got to get to the hardcore information because it is happening. But I agree with Daniel. I may have jumped the gun. We probably do need to go over their power structure. I mean, where else would you see in one meeting, the president of the Federal Reserve, not the appointed chairman, but the people that actually run it, the president of the Federal Reserve, where else would you see Henry Kissinger and the Queen of the Netherlands and the head of Dutch Rochelle? Where else would you see all of these top European commissioners? And when they were pulling into the Brook Street Hotel, they were covering their faces, even though they were in these blacked-out limousines and Mercedes. They were covering their faces because they're ashamed. You don't do good works in the dark and cover your face. You do evil works, and we've gotten enough documents out, have enough sources inside. Daniel and Jim Tuggers have incredible sources. I have some now. that we know their agenda. We've gotten enough of their own documents stolen from them or given to us by moles where it's not our opinion that this is their agenda. And Daniel mentioned the CFR, 3,000-plus members, Trilateral Commission, a couple hundred members. The Bilderberg Group comes up with a policy, then the CFR implements it. It's a bigger group of elite, every major CEO, every major TV news editor, every major banking head, every major person, I mean, every major person in the government, they all then break into working groups, and they're all given tremendous power, financing, and money as long as they carry out these aims. So you're lower down the pyramid there, and that's how they implement this. Then in England, they have the interface, the Royal Institute of International Affairs. Daniel mentioned NATO. They're now using NATO in Serbia. They use NATO in Afghanistan. They're now, quote, talking about using NATO troops if America's hit with a huge catastrophic attack. All of this is really happening.
Alex, can I just jump in for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
Alex is talking about documents. I think it's a great idea to talk a little bit about actual documents, because one of the more difficult things, I mean, I do about 50, 60 conferences a year on the Bilderberg as a New World Order in Spain and now in Europe. And one of the things that people are always relying on as far as believing or not believing the information, the veracity of the stuff, is just how much I have on the actual proofs, the documents. This is, I have in front of me.
And how did you get them, Daniel?
Well, aside from the fact that there are a couple of sources,
okay,
called Bilderberger regulars.
So these aren't public documents?
No, these are not public documents. Right. These are private documents. The one I have right in front of me right now, it's a 1968 Bilderberg document, the actual minutes of the entire meeting, which was held April 26th to the 28th in Canada, in Mount Tremblant in Canada. And there, George Ball, who directed the genocidal Tavistock organized post-World War II U.S. strategic bombing survey in London, and he was an Undersecretary of State for Economic Affairs under JFK and Lyndon Johnson. Now, Ball's presentation in 68 was titled Internationalization of Business, and defined what the new Bilderberger policy of globalization, which basically is your colonialism based on the concept of a world company, was going to be, and how it would shape the policy of this, again, Synarchist International. And Jim said before that the Bilderbergers are so secretive, they don't have a proper name. Actually, they do. They're called the Synarchists, and I'd like to come back a little bit later to that concept, because Bilderberg is an ideal, and Synarchism is the name. So this is what George Ball said, and again, I have it on the document. It's a 1968 Bilderberger meetings, minutes of their meeting in Mont Tremblant in Canada. This is what he said. He said, I quote, "To be productive, we must begin our inquiry by explicitly recognizing the lack of phasing between development of the world company, a concept responding to modern needs, and the continued existence of an archaic political structure of nation-states, mostly small or of only medium size, which is evolving only at a glacier pace in response to new world requirements of scope and scale." Now, for Ball, the very structure of a nation-state and the idea of commonwealth over general welfare of people represented the main obstacle against the attempt of freely looting the planet, especially the weak and the poor nations of the world, and represented the most important impediment to the creation of the neo-colonial world empire, which is what basically these people are putting together, post-industrial world.
Okay.
Post-industrial world order.
Let me ask Jim Mars this question. Jim, all around North America right now, in the United States, in Canada, on the internet, around the world, people are listening to this broadcast tonight. People who are hearing it, some of them for the first time, shaking their heads going, what can we do about this? Can this be stopped? Or will this be like Star Trek, where it becomes a federation? And, of course, in Star Trek, it looked like it worked. It looked fine. I don't think it would be that way in real life. But what can people do who are listening to this broadcast right now, and they know that the elitists are planning this and are doing this?
Well, first off, I think that if you're going to compare to science fiction shows, you should compare it to the last Star Trek episode. Not Star Trek, Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah.
Yeah, where the Republic was overthrown from the inside and changed into the evil empire.
Revenge of the Sith, if I could just add there.
Yeah.
The Emperor is carrying out terror attacks against himself as a pretext to expand control.
Exactly. Now, let me add this before I tell you what maybe we can do about it, and that is we have to treat the Bilderbergers just like you would treat any politician. You can't trust what they say because politicians lie to you. They have to get elected because the electorate very often does not want to hear the truth. So you can't trust anything a politician says. What you have to do is watch what they do, and I would simply point out that these people who are in the Bilderbergers and their predecessors have been pretty much in control since they formed the Council on Foreign Relations and the Royal Institute of International Affairs just after World War One. So let's look at their track record. Let's see, we've had World War Two, we had a depression, we've had many wars, we've had human starving all over the planet, particularly in Africa, sub-Sahara Africa. We've had, you see what kind of care and concern they gave for the people in New Orleans. Yeah. I'm here to tell you, I don't think their track record is that glowing.
You know, in this genocide in Darfur, I mean, they're not doing anything about that.
Of course not, because as they themselves have referred to us, we are just useless eaters.
Well, exactly, and we do have their official declassified public documents put out by their top individuals where they are calling for a neo-feudalist state where they control all the resources. But speaking about solutions, the good news is 5-10 years ago, no one even knew about the Bilderberg Group, and I was on the ground in Ottawa. I was downtown on the street doing interviews with a microphone. I'd say 25-30% knew about Bilderberg, were upset about it. They even knew about their agenda. So going from no one knowing, a decade ago, to a large portion of people knowing, the Bilderberg Group now, people don't laugh about it on the street. When I'm on other talk shows, the hosts don't laugh at me anymore. They're concerned. People don't laugh about the American Union. They've now heard about it. They know it's real. The Bilderberg Group, from our sources inside, that Jim Tucker and Estelle and others have, are more upset than they've ever been. They're getting frantic. There's a sense of urgency.
Oh, I bet they hate this show tonight.
Absolutely.
Oh, certainly.
Hey, Alex and Daniel, both, wouldn't you agree, though, that now is the time to try to stop this plan rather than wait until it's firmly in place, and the only option we're going to have would be violence?
Well, that's the point I was going to make, is that all of the things that these globalists are pushing for are wildly unpopular, between 80% and 97%, depending on what poll you look at, what issue. The vast majority is against what they're doing. It's unconstitutional. It's un-American. It's not freedom-based. They're simply a crew of 120 elitists who have bought off and paid off most of the governments of the world. They control our military, and they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes. That's why they do it in secret. That's why they want to be so secretive about this. They don't want you to know that Governor Pataki was confirmed and photographed being there. They don't want you to know that Hillary Clinton was there. And, yes, we've now confirmed that from three separate sources. I even called the hotel myself. So after the fact, they don't want you to know that George Bush Sr. went before them, that Bill Clinton went before them, that they stage American presidential elections, just like Bush and Kerry were both skull and bones. They don't want you to understand that they're running a rigged game, because when you know that it's a rigged game, then their house of cards falls. So yes, we are resisting it. The people are waking up. Bilderberg is certainly not down, but the beginning of their fall has begun. In fact, you can go to prisonplanet.com by linking through at Coast to Coast AM, and later, and you can watch where I bullhorned them, and the building was literally, the glass was shaking as I bullhorned them, and I laid it all out and told them. I mean, historic things are happening. And
well, Alex, let me ask you this. So I know a guy in St. Louis. He gave thousands of dollars to the Democratic Party, thousands of dollars to the Republican Party. And I asked him once, I said, why are you doing this? Why don't you just pick the party you want? And he went, because I can't lose. Is that what they're doing?
Playing yes. Both ends against the middle, that's the way it works.
It's just like owning all the horses or owning both fighters and then having one of them take a dive. So, Daniel Estelan, I mean, what's your take on this? How do we defeat these people? How do we stop this agenda?
Well, I think first of all, what we should do is outlaw television. television.
Well, I'm glad you didn't say radio, Daniel.
We should outlaw television, all except for the Alex Jones show. First of all, second of all, as far as being aware of what you, Alex, what you were saying with the people in Ottawa, I can tell you, Jim, I live in Spain, and your book, Rule by Secrecy, is doing very, very well. It's now in the second edition. I don't know if you're aware of it or not. And it's actually published on the
Daniel, same just today I got some copies from a publisher that have been printed in Spanish. So we've got a Spanish edition, a British edition. It's also been translated into Korean, Japanese.
I don't know how well it is doing in Korea or Japan, but I can tell you from seeing it in Spain, it's doing very, very well. It's prominently displayed. And people are very, very interested to see what exactly you have to say.
It is huge. The subject matter is absolutely huge. But let me ask you something. On the face of it, aren't these people smart? I mean, here we are at a planet that's approaching 6.5 billion people, soon to go to 9 billion people. We're going to run out of resources, whether it's man-made or earthwise cyclical. The planet is slowly changing. We're going to have, there's no question in my mind, we're going to have Earth change catastrophes. Our coasts, if you can believe Edgar Cayce, the late prophet, are going to get eroded by high ocean levels. All these things will occur. There'll be worldwide panic. We need, don't we? You know, I'm going to be the devil's advocate for a moment. I love that phrase, by the way. Don't we need a group that can step in and say, my God, we're going to lose this planet. We might as well save a few. What was that old Spock line? The one is not worth the needs of the few.
Can I comment on that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. The individuals we're talking about, they're the ones engaging in the wild genetic engineering, the chimera cross species. They're the ones that are authorizing the use of DU. These guys are inbred. They're totally selfish. They are attempting, as Daniel just alluded to, openly to dumb down human populations to make us more easily manageable. Any elite that does that is the scum of the earth. These individuals control the planet because they control the central banks. They control the printing of money. They don't, quote, try to go out and make money. They literally make it. They print it. They make Bill Gates look like a joke. You know, the real money, folks, is secret. As this meeting shows, so people can say, oh, the next progression from hunter-gatherers to agrarian to civilization to the nation-state, the next step is global government. We need to have a separation of powers. That's what stopped dictators in the past. Our Congress is split. Our executive, our judicial is meant to divide governments, divide. That's why we have counties and jurisdictions. It's, you know, if you've got a bad sheriff in your county, you can move to the next where there's a good sheriff. The historically, the last thing we want are global empires. The individuals that are into global empires and control, by their very nature, are sadistic and predatory. And if you research the Bilderberg Group, they're doing everything to destroy this planet. Look, they always say we need a global government to stop the proliferation of WMDs. But then they're busy proliferating the WMDs to create the crisis so they can bring in a world government as the solution. The Bilderberg Group is connected to narcotics trafficking. They are connected to international terrorism, to arms smuggling, to white slavery. All of this is mainstream news connected to a bunch of their former members can't come to their meetings because they're under indictment. And by the way, Ahmed Shalabi.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. This is the Iraqi who gave information to the Iranians, and now he's one of the best friends of the CIA, and he was there, wasn't he?
Yes, we videotaped Ahmed Shalabi, and of course the guy's wanted for stealing $300 million by our ally Jordan.
Yeah, but now he's what is he? He's a minister in Iraq?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Stay with us with our three guests, Alex Jones, Jim Mars, Daniel Eschelin. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Here's the big question we'll talk about when we come back, though, is who's going to put everything in order when the Earth changes, create worldwide disasters?